In a time when tyranny wove the fate of nations, Babylon rose under the oppressive shadow of Nebuchadnezzar, a king as proud as he was cruel. An absolute ruler, he reveled in the dark art of torturing those who dared to challenge him. Under his command, the vastness of the ancient world trembled. Syria already lay at his feet, dominated by his relentless will. Now his cunning eyes turned to Egypt, his most formidable rival. However, standing between him and his desire for imperial expansion was Judah, a strategic piece that needed to be conquered to secure the path for his grand plans. Within this context of conquests and ambitions, Nebuchadnezzar issued a decisive order. A group of young Jews was to be captured and molded to serve the empire, not as common slaves, but as men of knowledge and wisdom. Among these youths were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose fates would be forged under the new names of Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what many overlook is that Nebuchadnezzar's narrative would intertwine with a surprising divine presence, a figure who would cross the barriers of time, Jesus. This encounter is not recorded in the Gospels, but in the intriguing pages of the Book of Daniel, a text that offers a glimpse of Jesus long before his birth in Bethlehem, challenging the understanding and expectations of many. In his eagerness to cement his power as an uncontested monarch, King Nebuchadnezzar conceived a grandiose plan. In the heart of Babylon, he ordered the construction of a colossal statue, entirely made of pure gold, reaching an impressive height of 90 feet. This structure was not just a feat of engineering and art, it was a political and religious symbol intended to consolidate his dominion over the people of Babylon. Meticulously planned, the inauguration of the statue was to be a spectacle of loyalty and worship. Nebuchadnezzar summoned all dignitaries and rulers from his vast court for the dedication ceremony. The command was clear. At the sound of trumpets and music, all were to fall prostrate and worship the golden image. The penalty for defying such a decree was terrible and fatal. Anyone who disobeyed would be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace, condemned to an agonizing and fiery end. Amid the crowd that lay prostrate in fear and obedience, three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, chose a path of unwavering integrity. They stood up firm in their faith and convictions, challenging not only the king's order, but also the overwhelming pressure of the society surrounding them. These men knew that obeying the royal decree meant betraying their deepest beliefs. This scene did not go unnoticed. Some Chaldeans, driven by jealousy over the power positions these captive foreigners had achieved, saw a perfect opportunity for revenge. With haste and fervor, these lower officials rushed to Nebuchadnezzar, distilling their accusations poisoned by envy. They presented the three young men as challengers to the king's authority, knowing that such a challenge could result in severe punishment. They took advantage of the context to try to eliminate unwanted rivals in the power game of the court. The news provoked Nebuchadnezzar's wrath. Surprisingly, however, he offered the accused a second chance to defend themselves. Perhaps this reflected a reluctance to lose his valuable servants or a last hope that they would submit. But the king was clear in his intentions. He would only accept complete submission. Before them lay two grim choices: bow before the idol or face death by fire. With the arrogance that absolute power confers, Nebuchadnezzar challenged the ability of any god to save the youths, questioning, "Which god can deliver you from my power?" King Nebuchadnezzar, inflamed by the disobedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, summoned the three young men to confront them personally, his patience already worn thin by their perceived insolence. In a meeting charged with fury and anticipation, Nebuchadnezzar directly challenged the youths. "Is it true that you do not serve my God, nor worship the golden statue I have set up?" The king's question was a mix of disbelief and ultimatum, a final test for the youths to bend to his demands. The response of the young men was of a courage and conviction that would resonate through the centuries. With defiant calm, they faced the king, saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." These words were not just a refusal to bow. They were a declaration of absolute faith and a total rejection of the tyranny represented by the statue. In a final act of defiance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose death over disloyalty to God, facing the worst of fates with a conviction only deep faith could inspire. Their response to Nebuchadnezzar not only challenged his authority, but also tested the limits of his wrath. The king, seized by uncontrollable fury, ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than usual, a decree born from vengeance and a desire to see absolute submission to his will. The strongest warriors of Nebuchadnezzar's army were summoned to execute the tyrannical order. They bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, still in their typical garments, trousers, coats, and turbans, and threw them into the mouth of the blazing furnace. The intensity of the heat was so extreme that the flames consumed the very soldiers who executed the king's command. Yet, as Nebuchadnezzar watched, expecting a confirmation of his absolute power, an unexpected spectacle unfolded before his eyes. Inside the furnace, he saw not just the 3 men he had condemned, but a 4th, mysterious figure, walking freely among the flames without any sign of harm or pain. The king, stunned and agitated, exclaimed to his advisers, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" Upon their confirmation, he continued, incredulous, "Look, I see 4 men unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like that of a son of the gods." The scene inside the furnace transformed into a divine spectacle that defied all understanding. For Nebuchadnezzar, the impact of seeing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking unharmed through the fire was a miracle in itself, but the presence of a 4th figure, described as looking like a son of God, elevated the event to a transcendental dimension. This remarkable vision suggested that Christ himself, in his pre-incarnate form, had descended into the midst of the blazing furnace to walk alongside them in their moment of greatest trial. The implication that Jesus was physically present in the furnace, protecting and comforting the 3 men, offers a powerful image of divine love and commitment that transcends time and circumstances. Nebuchadnezzar watched in awe as the men walked freely, unimpeded by the flames that only consumed the ropes that bound them, symbolizing the release from earthly ties through faith. God's ability to surprise and touch even the hardest of hearts is evident in this narrative. The tyrant, who previously sought to demonstrate his supremacy through power and fear, found himself now confronted with a force that challenged his understanding and control. The lesson conveyed by the flames was not just of miraculous survival, but of redemption and revelation. Nebuchadnezzar, witnessing this scene, saw not just a challenge to his power, but a demonstration that he who made the soul can make his sword draw near to him, even coming close to the heart of an emperor. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were found walking calmly among the flames, as serene as if they were in a garden of pleasures. This was not mere survival. It was a vivid testimony to their unbreakable faith and divine protection. The furnace, though meant to be a place of death, became a space of freedom where they walked unconcerned, confident that the same God who protected them in the fire would also deliver them completely. Nebuchadnezzar, until then convinced of his own supremacy, now faced a reality where his authority was clearly surpassed by that of the God of Israel. The impact of this revelation was profound. How could he, after witnessing such a demonstration of divine power, continue to demand worship as if he were a god? In the face of this unexpected scenario, Nebuchadnezzar approached the mouth of the furnace and called the 3 men out. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here," he declared, recognizing the superiority of the god they worshipped. When the three men emerged from the flames, the king's captains, governors, and counselors surrounded them, astonished to find that the fire had not left a mark on their bodies. Not a singed hair, nor damaged clothes, nor even the smell of smoke was upon them. The episode of the fiery furnace left an indelible mark, not just on the skin of the three men who came out unharmed, but also on the souls of all who witnessed this miracle. The fact that not a single hair of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was burned underscores the miraculous nature of their preservation, especially considering that others, further from the heart of the flames, did not survive the mere heat emanating from the entrance of the furnace. This miracle is not only a testimony to the divine power of deliverance, but also a vivid demonstration of profound truths about faith and trust in God. The response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of their ordeal highlighted three crucial aspects of their faith. Unshakable belief. They possessed a solid faith in the God of the Bible, which transcends any physical reality or earthly threat. Absolute trust. They trusted that God was faithful to His word and would fulfill His promises, no matter how impossible the circumstances seemed. Complete surrender. Their faith was evident in their total trust in God, who held supreme power to deliver them, regardless of the outcome. Through their faith, the three men not only survived, but also revealed God's power to all who doubted. This teaches us that, even amidst severe trials, God's presence with us can transform any suffering into an opportunity to strengthen our faith and character. As Romans 5 reminds us, adversities can be divine tools to shape our perseverance, character, and hope. History also reminds us, as John exemplifies, that even in the presence of extreme pain and suffering, we can choose to trust in God. This trust is not based on the expectation of a life without pain, but on the certainty of God's constant presence. He does not promise a journey free from suffering, but assures us that He will be with us at every step of the way. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, marked by unbreakable faith and indomitable courage, continues to inspire and instruct. Faced with the threat of death and under the immense pressure of a tyrannical king, these three young men uttered words that resonate through time. "But even if He does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold image you have set up." Daniel 3, verse 18. These words are not just an act of civil disobedience, they are a proclamation of absolute fidelity to God, even in the face of the most severe consequences. This narrative reminds us that, in times of adversity or persecution, we must maintain our faith in God, knowing that He is with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego literally faced the fire, trusting that, even in the most extreme circumstances, God could rescue them. And if He did not, it would not diminish His sovereignty or His goodness. Their experience emphasizes that our earthly journey is transient, and that challenges and persecutions, however intense, are not the end of the story. They are part of a greater purpose that shapes and prepares us for eternity with God. This eternal perspective allows us to transcend temporary pain and suffering, finding peace and purpose even in the harshest trials. The transformation of Nebuchadnezzar from a king who demanded worship as a god to a leader who recognized and exalted the Almighty God is a testimony to the impact that authentic faith can have on others. The account of how he changed his stance and began to promote the worship of the true God among his subjects highlights the transformative power of faith lived openly and with conviction. The transformation of Nebuchadnezzar, after witnessing the miracle in the fiery furnace, reflects an eternal principle. The power of God, when revealed, can change hearts and stories. The once arrogant and self-sufficient king publicly acknowledged the supreme power of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3, from verse 28 to 30, he proclaimed, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and rescued His servants who trusted in Him. They defied the king's command and risked their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. The king not only recognized the sovereignty of God, but also issued a decree protecting the right to worship this god without facing blasphemy or persecution. This episode underscores the importance of godly leaders seeking regular visions of God's power and glory. When God reveals his magnitude, it makes it easier for his followers to direct their zeal and service more effectively and deeply. Nebuchadnezzar's experience illustrates how even the hardest hearts can be softened and transformed by the manifestation of divine power. Moreover, the presence of Christ in the Old Testament is a theologically rich and fundamental theme for Christian understanding. Although Jesus is not mentioned by name in the Old Testament texts, he is seen as present in various theophanies and prefigurations throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus himself stated in John 5, verse 46, that the Scriptures of Moses spoke of him. "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." This connection highlights the consistency and continuity of God's work throughout history, showing that the coming of Christ was anticipated and prepared from the beginning. The revelation of Jesus as the fulfillment of over 300 Old Testament prophecies reinforces the authenticity and accuracy of the Scriptures. And the moment when he reads Isaiah 61 in the synagogue of Nazareth, announcing that this text was fulfilled that day, is a powerful declaration of his identity and mission. The life of Joseph in the Old Testament remarkably reflects that of Jesus Christ, serving as a symbolic precursor to the greater works that God would accomplish through his son. Joseph, sold as a slave by his brothers, but eventually elevated to a position of power to save many, mirrors the journey of Jesus, who, betrayed and handed over to death, resurrected and redeemed humanity. The narrative of Abraham and Isaac also resonates with the Christian story of redemption. When Abraham said, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," he not only anticipated divine intervention in his own test, but prophesied God's ultimate provision, Jesus Christ, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. These Old Testament events function as symbols, prefiguring the sacrifice and victory of Christ, foundations of the Christian faith. Jesus, described in the Scriptures as the living Word, is the apex towards which all lines of the Bible point. From the promises made to Abraham to the prophecies of Isaiah, each story, lore, and prophecy in the Old Testament weaves a tapestry that reveals and prepares the way for the arrival of Jesus, the promised Messiah. The Bible as a whole is a testimony to God's plan for the reconciliation of humanity with him, offering hope of forgiveness and eternal life through Christ. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego resonates with that of Jesus in significant ways. Like them, Jesus faced persecution and death due to his faithfulness to God. However, through his resurrection, God confirmed power over death and sin. These stories are not just historical accounts, they are living encouragements to the faithful, reminding us of God's faithfulness and salvific power.